Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on tonight, buddy?
Not a whole lot. Another great day here in the great state of Wisconsin. I get to talk sports for the next 30 minutes, which is always a good thing. If you break the NFL season down, Troy, it pretty much comes in quarters. 4, 8, 12, 16. Each quarter four games long. And we are now through the first quarter of the NFL season, believe it or not. And it seems like football just ended for the 2015 season, and now we're four games in. So I should say all but a couple teams are four games in, but either way, we're at the quarter mark. And lots to talk about, you know, who's a pretender, who's a contender, biggest surprises, biggest disappointment, which coach is on the hot seat, which coach may not make it through the second quarter of the season, if any. So lots to talk about on that avenue. The first baseball playoff game underway today, tonight, and, you know, tomorrow's show, maybe we can preview the baseball playoff. So, anyway, just want to let listeners know, too, there's a great new workout coming out at the end of this month called 4-4. It's an MMA-inspired workout, so you're going to be, doing a lot of punching and kicking, and I did it yesterday, and I must say it's a great program. It's going to I did one of the workouts, I should say, yesterday, and it seems like it's going to be a great program. It's very fun and energetic, and you definitely break a nice little sweat doing it. So, you know, if you're interested, I'm going to be doing a test group at the end of the month for those that are interested in joining me for the program. And all you got to do is just shoot me an email, coachevan66@gmail.com, and join me with Core to Force at the end of this month, the latest program through Beachbody. And those wondering what Beachbody is, they're the programs behind P90X, 22-Minute Hardcore, Insanity, those type of programs. And, you know, P90X and 22-Minute Hardcore, I bring up, for those Packer fans that are listening, those are some of the programs that Eddie Lacy did with Tony Horton this offseason. So coachevan66@gmail.com. That's all you got to do to join me. And, you know, let's work on getting healthy. Me, I can tell you right now, I know how hard it can be, but with work and support, you can do it. You know, I've gone back at this day in 2011 at 381 pounds. I'm now at about 260 pounds. So I went from 381 to 260. And I've lost about five of that since the beginning of this year. So coachevan66@gmail.com, and let's work together and get healthy for the remainder of the year. So with that, throw it to you, Troy. How are things going out in Western PA today?
Well, like you said, it's October baseball, and you throw 162 games out the window, and now it really comes down to these 10 teams battling for – the World Series. And tonight's game, 2-2, extra innings. Couldn't have scripted a better start for Major League Baseball. And, you know, you would think two high-powered teams, Baltimore, Toronto, you know, I was thinking maybe a 5-4 game, something along those lines. You're 2-2, top of the 10th, and, you know, defense and pitching, it comes down to it. I mean, I know you need the offense. Seen a home run by Trumbo tonight, but defense, the Orioles with three double plays to end innings, Evan, it shows that, yeah, you got to have that pop in your bat, but in the postseason, defense is what is most likely going to win you games. And it's, playoffs, whether or not you like the wild card game, this is a pretty good game tonight. And tomorrow's going to be a dandy, too, with the Giants and the Mets, with Bumgarner and Syndergaard going at it against each other. It's a great pitching matchup. So, you know, what more can you ask for to start the season? You know, it's great. It's awesome. And then tonight, like you said, it's hard to believe, Evan. You know, just a month ago, we were all excited. Football season's here starting, and now, bam, a month later, we're already a quarter of the way done. Quarter of the way done. And we're already talking about coaches on the hot seat and talking about teams that we think are for real, teams that, you know, still got to show us some things. But it's going to be a great show tonight, and we'll just get started right there, Evan. I know you brought it up. Let's talk about those teams that are off to a hot start, and if they're for real, I'll turn it back over to you.
Yeah, so, you know, a number of teams off to a hot start, two teams in particular, Vikings and the Broncos, both 4-0, Eagles 3-0. You know, and the Eagles are probably the most surprising team in the NFL right now. I don't think anyone expected the Eagles to be 3-0 at this point. With the whole Chip Kelly situation, I don't think anyone expected the Eagles to be 3-0 at the moment. And then the Rams sitting at 3-1 is a surprise. And the Falcons leading the division right now at 1-3, another surprise after a hot start. If you had to pick one of those teams, in my opinion, Troy, that I just mentioned, between the Eagles, the Rams, Vikings, Falcons, all teams that are surprising division leaders right now, I would say probably the Rams are probably the biggest pretenders out of all of them. They've scored only 63 points this year and have allowed 76, and yet they're 3-1. You know, that just shows you that, you know, like how weird that division is. They've beaten the Seahawks. They've beaten the Cardinals, and they lost to the 49ers in week one, I think 21-0 or something like that. But it just shows you just how crazy the NFC West is. And the NFC South, I'm not sold on the Atlanta Falcons. I'm not. Last year, I believe they started the year 7-1, and they ended up finishing the year 8-8. So definitely not. I would say probably the Rams and the Falcons, the Penders that are out there right now in the NFC, the Eagles. Hard to say what the Eagles are. It really is, because they had talent on their football team. But when you got Chip Kelly as your coach, and I'm not saying Chip Kelly is a horrible coach. He's a good college coach, but I think he's been a little over his head in the NFL. When you have Chip Kelly as your head coach, the defense is going to struggle because he's all about scoring as quickly as he possibly can. So that where then tire off the defense. And you have short drives, which would, like I said, tire off the defense. So the Eagles, I have a hard time deciding what the Eagles are. I can't call them a pretender or a contender right now. And then in the AFC, not really any surprises, except for maybe the Patriots, that they're 3-1 minus Tom Brady. I think that's probably the biggest surprise in the AFC right now. And then the Broncos 4-0 with, you know, whoever's playing quarterback. I don't know who the quarterback this week's going to be, if it's going to be the rookie Patrick Lynch or the other guy. But not a whole lot of huge surprises to me in the AFC. But when you look at the AFC and NFC, who are your surprises, and which ones do you feel are more of a pretender than they are a contender? I think you're having some technical difficulties there, Troy.
Yeah, sorry about that. Starting the AFC, when we look at it, you can't really call the Patriots a pretender at 3-1. It's a nice surprise. They were playing good football through three games with patchwork at quarterback. Who would have thought that Brissett would be the starting quarterback? They thought it was going to be Jimmy G, and he hurt his shoulder. And so you come 3-1 with Tom Brady, and then you pick up the Cleveland Browns. I mean, Belichick's got to be more than ecstatic being 3-1 atop the division. Now, the thing is, they got the Bills at 2-2 right behind them, and the Bills own the tiebreaker. But, again, now you get Tom Brady back. And it's one of those, you look at the Patriots, Evan, And every year it seems like, well, what are they going to do defensively? And they always seem to come up with some kind of defensive scheme. Maybe don't get enough credit for what they do defensively with really since, you know, years ago. No really, like, dominating forces on defense in my mind in New England. But 3-1 is a big surprise. Denver, 4-0. I know they got a very good defense, but I did not think that they would be 4-0. And they are playing good football right now without Peyton Manning there. And, you know, nothing is Manning. He won the Super Bowl for them, but, you know, it was a quarterback. He last year as a quarterback, Evan, you know, battling some injuries, age, he may have just been fallen into that category last year as a game manager. And now you're going with young guys, and they do have a quarterback situation now with injuries. But at 4-0, a little bit of a surprise to me. Now, another surprise to me is Oakland at 3-1. I don't want to call them a pretender, Evan. This is a team that we thought was going to be on the rise. But my problem with Oakland at 3-1, defensively, they have a lot of deficiencies. And can they maintain their winning by having an offense that has to do basically all the work? When you look at their 3-1 record, they've scored 108 points. That's great. But they've given up 106. So defensively, they've got to get better, but they're 3-1. And again, you never apologize for winning, but it's a 3-1 record where they have a lot of defensive deficiencies. So it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the season plays off. And I also think Baltimore at 3-1, that's an inflated record due to schedule. But again, that is what was dealt with them. They went out. Their first real test was against Oakland. And you saw what happened. So you got two teams, Baltimore and Oakland, that are 3-1. And I look at those records and say, which of these teams has a more legitimate shot? And I think it's Oakland. But Baltimore, Evan, again, they won the three games they were supposed to because of their schedule. But I'm not sure if Baltimore can sustain where they're at for the rest of the year, especially with the Cincinnati Bengals team right below them at 2-2. And Pittsburgh in that division at 3-1, I didn't mention them because honestly at 3-1, kind of figured that's about where they'd be with that offense. They've got a defense. They played against the Chiefs. They went out and they got after it. But I want to throw it back to you, Evan. Baltimore and Oakland, both are 3-1. If you had to pick just one of those teams, which one of those two makes the playoffs? If one of them is going to, I'm not saying either will. Let's be hypothetical that one will make the playoffs. You can only pick one of the two. Which one is more of a playoff team to you?
Right now, I would have to lean towards Baltimore to be more of a playoff team. And I know it's tough saying that, the same division as Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. But look at the Raiders' defense. The Raiders' defense is atrocious. They can't stop the pass if their life depended on it. Then you look at the Ravens. The Ravens have only given up 72 points this year. The Raiders have given up 106. The Ravens play better defense. The Ravens play more physical, better cornerback play. You know, the Ravens got the better defense. And if I was a betting man and I wanted to make a bet on who makes the, you know, playoffs, I'm going to go with the team with the better defense. At the end of the day, you know, defense is what gets you there. I know people are going to look at 2011 Packers and say, well, what about that Packer team? They made the playoffs as the number one ranked offense and one of the worst defenses the NFL has ever seen before the Saints came along recently with what they put on the field for defense. But at the end of the day, that's not a trend. That was an immorality. Other than 2011, yeah, the Packers defense hasn't been overly special. However, they've been good enough to help them win that division. And at the end of the day, too, up until recently, the NFC North has not been a good division. The NFC North, you know, the Packers could basically win a division by default. But now you got the Vikings that are probably the class of the NFC right now. If I had to pick a Super Bowl contender out of the NFC right now, I'd go pick at the Minnesota Vikings just with what they've been doing. Now, we want to move it along, talk about biggest disappointments so far. And there's a few. We got Arizona at 1-3, Carolina at 1-3, probably the two biggest disappointments in the NFC right now. Carolina's had that Super Bowl hangover where, as I said, they're 1-3 at the moment. The Cardinals, they lost in the NFC Championship game last year to the Panthers. They seem like they still have a little bit of a hangover there. They're sitting 1-2. So in the NFC, I would say Arizona and Carolina, two biggest disappointments. Other than them, you know, the 49ers, 1-3, no surprise. The Bears and the Lions, no surprise. The Saints, I think I've seen Pee Wee football teams play better defense than the Saints. I think Pee Wee football team that stand a better shot against NFL offense than the Saints do right about now. But I don't necessarily consider the Saints a disappointment. And if I had to jump to the American Football Conference, I would say probably my biggest disappointments this year so far is probably Jacksonville would be the biggest. Jacksonville went in with a lot of hype this year. You know, a lot of young talent starting to come to age. Free agency, they've done really strong in recently. They've been drafting pretty well. And they sit at 1-3. And before the Colts game, the games weren't even that overly competitive. You know, the Packers game was kind of competitive for a while. But overall, they weren't even that competitive. So I'd say Jacksonville is probably one of my biggest disappointments, if not the biggest disappointment in the AFC. And then you got the Jets sitting at 1-3. But that's kind of expected to me personally with the whole Ryan Fitzpatrick issue. The fact that he didn't sign a contract, so pretty much training camp was over. So they didn't get a much of a chance to get ready for the NFL season. And then San Diego, sitting at 1-3. And the reason why they're disappointing, they've had the lead in all three of those losses in the fourth quarter, and they've not been able to finish. You know, so we're going to talk coaches on the hot seat. McCoy from San Diego, Gus Bradley from Jacksonville, probably the two strongest candidates not to make it through the second quarter of the NFL season. And I got to put Jim Caldwell on that list, too, as a potential not going to make it through the second quarter of the NFL season. So who are your biggest disappointments so far in the AFC and NFL?
AFC, I'm going to point out a team that you didn't mention there, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. And I'm going to throw Chuck Pagano right there. I'll stick him up on the posted board for the coaches on the hot seat at 1-3. I know that this is a team, Evan, ever since I lived in Indianapolis, is trying to figure it out defensively. And at some point, you've got to be able to figure it out when you've got Andrew Luck at quarterback. You got weapons on offense, but defensively, they've given up 125 points in four games. They're terrible. And I've got to point the finger somewhere. I know when I lived in Indianapolis, it was the whole Chuck Strong thing. That's when Bruce Arians got his chance, took over, went to Arizona. And at some point, the sentimental feelings for Chuck Pagano and everything he went through personally has to come to an end. And right now, I think it's done. I think it's over. I think you've got to make a change. You've got to bring in a coach that's going to do something defensively. And they haven't made changes defensively for years. And why waste good years of Andrew Luck? 125 points allowed, Evan, in four games. Very disappointing. At 1-3, this is a team that should be battling for a division title. I know last year Luck was hurt. And, you know, they still hung around near the top. But this year, if you look at that defense, they'll be lucky to finish 8-8. It's terrible. They need to make some changes, and that starts with the coach. If you're not getting it done, or one of your position coaches is not getting it done, make a change. And I think the loyalty to Chuck Pagano has to end. You know, everything I've read, and again, I lived there when Chuck Pagano was going through the cancer and the Chuck Strong, and it's great, and it's the bond with the community. But at the end of the day, it's about winning football games. And so I think that loyalty has got to be thrown out the window, and you've got to put the pressure on and say, get it done or you're gone. To me, that is the biggest disappointment disappointment in the AFC. You mentioned Jacksonville. I'm not going to go much farther. I thought they'd be better than 1-3, but they're struggling defensively also. I want to switch over to the NFC. The disappointment here, Evan, definitely has to be the Arizona Cardinals. You know, this is a team that has been on the cusp. Bruce Arians put together, you know, a program and a team that was supposed to dominate the NFC West. And it's one of those things that they show signs at times, but then I don't want to say they're not competitive, because they are competitive. It just seems like you wonder what they're doing. I was watching the game, and it's like they have no identity right now, and they're trying to figure it out. And it just seemed like every play they're trying to go downfield, trying to go downfield, and you have a very good running back in David Johnson. I looked at the Cardinals, and I looked at, you know, finding this running back kind of out of nowhere. That's a guy that make him the workhorse. Be a guy. I know Carson Palmer, decent quarterback, and you got Larry Fitzgerald and some pieces offensively. But if I'm Arizona, I become a dominating power football team with David Johnson. And it surprises me that that's not what they've done. And, you know, defensively, not so bad, but they've had struggles offensively. We talked about it this week, yesterday. You know, how do you not outscore the Rams? I mean, that's a team that offensively is not very good in the Rams. So the Cardinals are the biggest disappointment to me. And then I throw the Carolina Panthers in there also. Coming off the Super Bowl, and this is a defense last year, Evan, that we talked about as being dominating. They've given up 118 points in four games. And you wonder, is it a Super Bowl hangover? Did they think it was going to come easy? And you hate to say that about professional athletes or professional organizations, because most of them should know how hard it is to get to the Super Bowl. And it looks like that passion is missing from the Panthers, to be honest with you, when I watch them play. It's almost like they're going through the motions and thinking that it was going to come easy. And now all of a sudden, you're a quarter of the way through the season, and you find yourself two games behind the Atlanta Falcons. So you know, can you turn it around? Yeah, you still have, you know, 12 games to go. But in the first four, it just looks like the Panthers are disengaged when they're playing football games at this point. So in the NFC, though, Evan, when I look at coaches on the hot seat, I really don't see too many when you're looking at coaches on the hot seat at this point. I mean, you got Detroit and Chicago, so maybe – in Detroit, Jim Caldwell could be on the hot seat. That could be one that I could throw out there. But to be honest, I didn't expect them to be much different than their 1-3 record shows right now. I really didn't. I know offensively they've got some pieces, but we've talked about Matt Stafford and his deficiencies. And, you know, Jim Caldwell, I'll say this right now, Evan, I've always thought that the guy's a very good coordinator. I just don't think he's a head coach. I think he is one of those coaches that is much better suited to be a coordinator in the NFL, and there's nothing wrong with that. Not taking anything away from Jim Caldwell, I just don't think he's a head coach. I think he is better suited at being a coordinator. So I want to get your quick thoughts there. Jim Caldwell, is he an NFL head coach, or is he better suited to be a coordinator in the NFL?
Well, I think he's better suited to be a coordinator or assistant coach. I don't think he's a head coach. I said when the Lions hired him, I thought it was a bad move because I don't think he's an NFL head coach. And he's in over his head. You know, he did really well in Indianapolis for 1 year, and they had Peyton Manning, but then when Manning got hurt, they go and finish 1-15. Now, I don't expect too many coaches to be successful there, but – you know, the Colts had talent. It wasn't just the Peyton Manning show. They had talent. The problem was he didn't know how to use it. And next thing you know, they're 1-15. So I think Caldwell's just a better assistant. I don't think he's a good head coach. And the other guy you got to start writing about in New York is Todd Bowles. Is he a better coordinator than head coach? And does he deserve more of an opportunity to prove himself? Yeah, but right now at 1-3 in New York, you know, you really got to start wondering when you look at the roster New York has put together. And I know Fitzpatrick is a guy; he's nothing special. He's just the guy. But you look at the roster they put together, the Jets should be better than 1-3. They really should be better than 1-3 right now, but they're not. And when does it fall? You know, when does it fall on the Colts? And I don't know if you put the blame on him or what, but Todd Bowles is another guy that he might just be a better defensive coordinator than he is head coach, just like Jim Caldwell is probably a better offensive coordinator than he is head coach. So that's my thought, and I pretty much all I got to say for tonight. So I'm going to throw it back to you to get some final words in before you let our listeners go.
Yeah, just a quick update for those that are baseball fans. It is 2-2. Extra innings with Toronto coming up with a chance to win here in the bottom of the 11th. I mean, another great – I love October baseball, Evan. I know it's football season, but how can you not get excited for baseball playoffs? It's just a great time of the year. And like I said, great start to the playoffs with an extra inning game. But Toronto, you know, starting the bottom of the 11th, they can win it because they're at home, should they score a run. But it's exciting. I'll be staying up. I know I'm tired as heck right now, Evan, but how can I go to bed in an extra inning baseball playoff game? That's all I got to say. It's exciting baseball. Every pitch, every at-bat is so key, especially now in extra innings. So that's all I have. Tomorrow night, make sure you join us. We're going to talk a little bit of baseball tomorrow night. By the time we get on the air, we may know where the outcome of San Francisco, New York is as that game starts at 8:09 Eastern time. We get on the air at 11. Could be done, could be over, but who knows? With those two pitchers, Bumgarner and Syndergaard, we could also have a National League extra inning game. But tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central, Evan and I talk a little bit of baseball. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelt, put your foot on the gas. We'll get back at you tomorrow night. Have a good night, everyone.